10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, welcome to part two of News from the Wall, already in progress. Now, in this session, we're going to continue the discussion of what we began earlier, and we've been talking about what is going to come in the year 2015. There are many challenges that are in front of us. There are going to be many struggles that the people of God will face. America is in uncharted territory, because over the past several decades since World War II, America has had the privilege of holding on to something that the rest of the world did not have or possess. And that had to do with the U.S. dollar being the world's reserve currency. That began after World War II, after the victors of the war met and took the spoils. And since the United States led the charge to victory, the United States was allowed to have the privilege to lead the way. So America was given a gift out of World War II that she has been able to enjoy for several decades, since the mid-1940s. And for a season of several generations of Americans, prosperity was great. America grew. America became very wealthy. And over the course of 3 to 4 generations, most Americans have lived in this bubble of privilege that the rest of the world could only hope for or dream about. So the American dream was a very real thing. The middle class grew strong. And because of the U.S. dollar being the world's reserve currency, America was blessed and never really saw the want that the rest of the world experienced. But in the early 1970s, Richard Nixon changed the original terms of the U.S. dollar being the world's reserve currency by unpegging it from the gold standard, but then making a new arrangement with Middle Eastern oil nations to start the reign of the petrodollar. And from the early 1970s, the United States then continued its prosperity because the world used the U.S. dollar in exchange for oil. And the OPEC nations of the Middle East continued in that arrangement for over 40 years. And thus the prosperity of America continued. But now here we are in the year 2015. And there are wheels in motion worldwide to bring the dollar's reign to an end. Because you see, folks, in order for the U.S. dollar to maintain its reign as the king of the mountain, the United States of America had to, at times, encourage certain nations of the earth to abide by that standard. And over the years, the U.S. has bullied other nations to use the dollar as the world's reserve currency, and the United States has, by the barrel of a gun, influenced other nations to continue the tradition. And over the years, if any nation floundered and had doubt about it, the United States had a remedy. The United States was able to send individuals on missions to do things to those nations to ensure that they continued the tradition. And if necessary, the United States removed the leadership of nations and replaced them with others that would cooperate. Now, that could be a whole entire program, a different program, talking about it. But those of you who are awake, you know about this. You know that the U.S. dollar's maintenance as the world's reserve currency did not happen in a vacuum. The United States has stains, ladies and gentlemen. The United States of America has engaged in deeds that are not noble, that most would deny, that most people don't want to know about, that most people would rather forget. And in summary, in order for the United States of America to maintain her position to possess the world's reserve currency and the petrodollar, in order for that to continue over the past few decades, the United States of America has committed crimes against the world. She has been unjust against certain nations. She has placed puppet dictators in second and third world countries who were very cruel to their people. This went on in Central and South America over the years. It's gone on in Asia and in Africa and in the Middle East. And some of the others who have been in the playground have grown weary of this arrangement. Nations in the East have grown weary of it. Russia and China have grown weary of it. Middle Eastern nations have grown weary of it. As you see, folks, most people do not love a bully. And to a bully's face, most people will show respect or look the other way, but they will not provoke or intimidate. That's because they're afraid of the bully. Until the day comes that the bully is no longer able to maintain its strength and intimidation. And thus, some of the bigger players in the world have now grown tired of the intimidation of the United States of America. Now, if you are a resident of the U.S. and you've never heard these things, I know it's not easy to receive, but that's the process of waking up. The process of waking up requires that we need to take that journey and walk up the steps into the attic of Uncle Sam. Waking up requires that we go into the attic, through the door. And then it also requires that we see that Uncle Sam has been storing and possessing some things that are not good in his attic. Uncle Sam has secrets, ladies and gentlemen. And those who live within the borders of the U.S., for the most part, would rather not know the secrets. And most people who live within the borders of the United States would rather maintain their comatose existence and not know the truth. And they would rather just sidestep the truth and entertain themselves with things that are superficial, like a reality TV show. The Kardashians are more important than what's happening to America. And because most people of the United States have been purposely robbed of their ability to comprehend, they would rather not know these things. But here's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. The rest of the world is tired of America. And because they are, they have decided to come up with alternative methods to conduct commerce within themselves. They no longer want to use the dollar as the world's reserve currency, and a number of the OPEC members no longer want to exchange oil for petrodollars. Iran's tired of the petrodollar, and so are Russia and China. So they have formed their own alliance called the BRIC Alliance. And that thing is gaining traction, and it's growing stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure that a lot of you know this information, but there are others that don't. And those of you that have not heard this information, I know it's difficult to hear because it clashes with the inner nationalistic pride that we as Americans have. It clashes with the red, white, and blue sinew that's under our skin and the patriotic blood that flows through our veins. But ladies and gentlemen, this is the truth. And unfortunately, the sins of our political fathers are going to be visited upon our generation and upon our children. In fact, folks, it's happening now. So in the coming year of 2015, as the world continues to develop its alternative plan for a world reserve currency and a new way of exchanging funds for oil, as the world comes up with their alternative plan, eventually the door will close on the U.S. dollar. And when that happens, it's going to be very, very painful for those of us living here the shores of America. Now, if you've been a regular listener to this program, or if you've been awake, I mean, if you know this and you've been preparing for this, but the ramifications of what I'm sharing right here are going to be enormous. As a watchman, I've been up on this wall for a few years, and from time to time, God will visit me with another prophetic glimpse, with a prophetic dream or a vision or a prophecy to inform me of another chain of events that are approaching. And a few months ago, on October the 11th, God gave me a prophetic dream about the dollar. And if you're a regular listener, you've heard me talk about it. And it had to do with the crash of the oil markets, as well as some other events. This was back on October 11th of 2014, and I published it a few days later on October 13th, which is almost 3 months ago. And I went public with it back then, and I shared it on several occasions, including the Hagman and Hagman program. And in my prophetic vision, I saw a giant sign fall out of the sky and crash to the ground. And the sign had the words Standard Oil written on it. And it had green sides with steel rebar. And this sign was about 20 to 30 feet across, and it landed right in the middle of a street of a downtown city that I was in. I don't know what city I was in, but it landed in the middle of the street. Now, this vision had other things as a part of it, but one of the most notable ones was what I'm sharing right here, the sign of falling oil. And this meant that oil markets were going to crash. And I shared it back then. I did not understand to what level and how quick this thing was going to take place. All I had at the time was what God showed me. It meant that oil markets were going to crash. And the vision also was a parable that included the word Standard Oil. And for those of you that know history, Standard Oil in the early 1900s was owned by John D. Rockefeller. And Rockefeller was involved in the opening chapters of the Federal Reserve and other New World Order pursuits. So the falling sign with the word Standard Oil also meant that the established petrodollar, as we know it today, was also going to crash. And since God gave me this vision in the form of an actual sign, because the words were painted on a sign, what God was saying was, Nathan, I'm giving you a sign, and this is what the sign is going to be. So when this sign happens, know that the other things are also going to happen that are a part of the vision I'm showing you. So the crashing sign that I saw meant that oil markets were going to collapse and begin a chain reaction of destructive events that would result in the destruction of American cities. Now, the rest of that prophetic dream included other things. One of them was I saw a plane crash into the middle of a downtown city, and I saw some of the buildings get destroyed. And one of the buildings that was destroyed was shaped like a grain silo with a big hole in it. The grain silo shape of that building also had a meaning that represented an actual grain silo, and a grain silo stores grain or wheat or some of the staple commodities that we rely on as some of our basic foods here in the United States of America and actually throughout the whole world. They hold a lot of different things, but this silo that I saw was empty. And the prophetic dream also went on to show a crashing rocket. And again, folks, I don't want to go into it too long, but the bottom line is that this prophetic dream had several things that God wanted me to warn, and one of them had to do with oil crashing. The oil markets were going to crash. The petrodollar was going to crash. As these chain of events arrived here in America, which were attached to the crashing oil market sign, it was going to result in food becoming very expensive. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I cannot stress enough how serious this prophetic dream was. I know that there are some people out there who believe that God doesn't give us prophetic dreams. You know, folks, that's one of the biggest frustrations. It's very frustrating to have the prophetic gift and to see it in motion, to see it happen before your eyes, and then for people who have no faith and unbelief to suggest that God doesn't do it. It's frustrating, folks, but you know, when we look at biblical history, that's the way it's always been. The messengers and the servants of God who were used to relay a message from God or to relay a warning from God, oftentimes, and actually the majority of the time, they were met with unbelief and mocking and scoffing, and as a result, they had no remedy. 2 Chronicles chapter 36 says this. But God sends the warning, and he does it in a peculiar way. He does it by prophetic glimpses that he gives to some of his servants to warn the people that these things are coming. And that's what you are listening to right now, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to a genuine prophetic warning that is in motion right now. Because there is no way, let's just lay this out on the table, my friends. There's no way that this was a coincidence. When God gave me this prophetic warning about the oil markets and I went public with it, at that time, it was not happening. This is the thing that those of you that are struggling with unbelief, take a look around you. If your theology is reliant on the opinion of one of your brothers who attempts to tell you that this thing is not real when it is happening right now, then perhaps you should reanalyze your theology, my friend, because this thing is happening right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying this to justify or try to prove. I have nothing to prove. The proof will testify for itself. And the truth is the testimony. The prophetic warning is the testimony. And the prophetic sign that God gave 3 months ago, I stated 3 months ago, I said, ladies and gentlemen, I said this on the Hageman and Hageman program. I said, ladies and gentlemen, watch for the sign to happen before your eyes. Watch it. You're going to see the oil markets crash because God showed this. And now here we are. The oil markets are crashing. In my spirit, as I prayed and I sought him and I asked him, God, what is the meaning of this vision? Please help me. Show me. And God started to show me and reveal. God revealed that the chain of events because of the crash in oil, it was going to affect the economy of the United States and jobs were going to be lost. Those who are involved in the oil industry would lose their jobs. So I went on Hageman and Hageman a few weeks after that and I said, ladies and gentlemen, this is a Joseph warning. Just like Joseph was shown the years of plenty for the wheat and then he was shown the years of famine with no wheat in the days of Egypt. So he encouraged the people to prepare because they only had a limited window to get ready. This is the same thing you're hearing. If you're involved in the oil industry, if you live in Texas, Oklahoma, all the way north to Wyoming or North Dakota, as this thing begins building momentum, people are going to start losing their jobs. So if you're involved in the prosperity of the oil markets, please prepare. Get ready. Use your money and get ready because you may find yourself unemployed. I shared that, ladies and gentlemen. And those of you who are regular listeners, you heard this. Nathan, why are you spending so much time on this? Here's why, ladies and gentlemen. Please hear me. I'm spending time on this to show that the crashing oil markets were a sign that the rest of the prophetic vision was also going to happen. And the rest of the prophetic vision included an airplane crashing in a downtown area, which is going to cause a city to suffer a lot of damage, and then it's also going to cause a major blow to the commodities market and to food prices. Food is going to go up. In the coming year of 2015, what do you have to look forward to? My friends, hear the warning right now. I'm saying this from my heart, from the wall, and I'm saying it with sincerity. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have the ability, make arrangements to deal with expensive food. Make arrangements now to try to lessen the blow of expensive food. Make arrangements now to be able to have food to feed your family when it becomes more expensive than it is now. Because it's going to become expensive. Now, I didn't say that it would become scarce, which it might, but when the petrodollar finally crashes, and that's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, when the world finally says, you know what, we're not going to exchange oil for dollars, we're going to use something else. The value of the dollar is going to plummet worldwide, which will cause food to become more expensive worldwide. And financial markets are going to find themselves tumbling worldwide for a season. There will be a period of time that the world markets will suffer when the peg of the petrodollar is removed. European nations are going to go crazy because other currencies of the world are also attached to the dollar. So when the dollar falters, it's going to affect other currencies. Unless, let me stress this, unless a currency is not pegged to the dollar, like Eastern currencies, like the Chinese yuan or the renminbi or the ruble. Now, the United States right now is trying to destroy the ruble in Russia through the tactic right now of the falling oil markets. This is a clandestine declaration of war toward Russia. Behind the scenes, that's what's going on. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But what I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, is that we are witnessing right now this prophecy in motion. So I want to just encourage you, my friends, please see. For those of you that have the eye to see, there's no question. It's not about, wow, Nathan was lucky, or it's not about, wow, what a coincidence. It's about your family. It's about you making a wise decision. It's about you realizing that we're in trouble. It's about you seeing the warning and then taking these matters to God in prayer. It's about you saying, wow, Nathan's up on the wall and God showed him something interesting. I don't know how that happened. That's not scientific. That messes with my technical way of thinking. I can't explain it. But after you get over that part, ladies and gentlemen, then move to the next part. It's happening. Therefore, get ready for it. Because part of the vision also included a rocket crashing in the middle of the street. And that rocket was the rocket of the power and the glory of the United States of America. The glory and power of the United States is going to crash to the ground. And when that happens, it's going to affect so many things. The power of America's currency is going to crash, and the power of America's might and glory is going to crash, which affects also our ability to be strong militarily. It's going to crash to the ground. And when it happens, we're going to see jobs deteriorate. Unemployment is going to increase on a massive scale. Foreclosures are going to increase on a massive scale. From Texas, from Houston, Texas, all the way northward. This is also going to reach into Canada. All of the areas of the West that rely on oil as a staple are going to suffer. So Texas is in trouble. Oklahoma is in trouble. Colorado, portions of Colorado are in trouble. Wyoming, North Dakota, ladies and gentlemen, please hear me. It's going to have a major blow to the economy. It's happening as I speak, and it's going to get worse. So in the coming year of 2015, we're going to see a crash of the oil markets that are going to have a big domino effect throughout the American economy. It's going to affect a lot of things. So if you're involved in those markets, my friends, make arrangements. And if you're struggling with what I'm saying right here, then take this to God. Pray to God. If you're able to hear God's voice, then ask him. Say, God, this guy is claiming that these things are going to happen. Is he crazy? I have no problem with that, ladies and gentlemen. You take the matter to God, but then you need to listen to what he says. Nathan, why would God allow this? It's because we're in judgment, my friends. It's because America is earning this spanking. In the spiritual realm, God's letting it happen as a chastisement to this country. In the natural, there are players that are behind what we see happening. There are human beings in very high places that are pulling the levers and the strings to cause this to happen because they have an expected goal. They have an assignment, and they want to see something come out of this. The thing that they're after is the destruction of Russia, which means that what we see happening in the oil markets is price manipulation by the insiders of the New World Order. The Saudis, the House of Saud, has a very close relationship with the IMF and the United States, with the State Department, and they're working together to do this purposely to destroy the Russian economy. And the goal of this tactic is to destroy the ruble to the point where Russian citizens will grow weary of Vladimir Putin and a coup would take place in Russia to get rid of Putin. So the United States is trying to act in advance of war to destabilize Russia in the hopes that in the event that war comes, Russia will limp into the war that's coming. Now that's the plan. That's the written script that they have against Russia. But here's the problem with that plan, ladies and gentlemen. Russia is friends with China. Russia is allied with China and with Iran and with many other nations of Asia. And while Russia's economy may not be as strong as the United States, Russia also does not have the debt that the United States has. Russia also does not have the obligations that the United States has. Russia also is not a part of a world framework of finance that is based on deceit and corruption. Russia's not a part of that. And what the United States is doing to try to cripple Russia with this tactic is to defeat Russia before the first shots are fired. It's going to fail, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to backfire because Russia is very shrewd. And Russia's ally is very rich. China is very rich. And between the two of them, Russia and China could encourage their world friends and partners to dump the dollar, to dump the treasuries, and to say, we've had enough. We're not going to take it anymore, America. We're tired of your bullying. And guess what? We're dumping all of your treasuries. So we're calling your treasuries due right now. We want you to redeem them. We're holding on to your debt. Pay up now. You know, folks, China could do that at any moment. They could do it tomorrow. They could do it next Monday. So what we see taking place right now in the geopolitical alignments is the two teams are forming of a war and a battle that is coming. It's going to be the United States and members of NATO against the East, against Russia and China and Iran and some of the old Slavic states that are in Europe. The sides are forming. The swords are being sharpened. And this thing is going to take place, ladies and gentlemen, because the United States is controlled by puppeteers who believe that they are the privileged of humanity. They believe that they have the DNA that is superior to all other members of the human race. I'm talking about the members of the Blue Bloods who believe that their Anglo-Saxon bloodline is superior to everybody else on the planet. These are members of the Illuminati, the New World Order, the Bilderbergs, the Rothschilds, the Club of Rome, all of these individuals who believe that they are superior to the East. But here's the problem with that mentality, ladies and gentlemen. The West has turned its back on God. The West has openly defied God. The West has openly told God, you are no longer welcome. This has taken place throughout Europe and in the United States. And when we look at the prophetic warning, I have seen other glimpses. By the way, I'm not the only one, and I say this every time, but I continue to maintain it. God has shown the images to his watchmen, and there are many who have seen the same images and glimpses. And these images pertain to the United States under attack, where the United States gets invaded from the coastlands, from the southern border, from the northern border, and the glimpses also grow worse. Before that attack happens, there's going to be mass chaos in the United States. There's going to be civil war. There's going to be uprising. There's going to be cities burning. I have seen several cities over the last few years in prophetic glimpses experiencing the unwelcome episode of missiles flying out of the sky and exploding over the cities. I've seen it happen in the Northwest. I've seen it happen over Seattle, Hawaii, Colorado, as well as other places. A few weeks ago, I was on the Hagman program, and I wrote an analysis that summarized a lot of the key points of what's going on right now in the geopolitical alignment regarding Russia and the development toward war and the evidence that showed that we are moving toward war. So if you want to read that, you can go to my website, watchmanscry.com, and on the front page on the right side, it says analysis on the coming war, notes, and it's the notes that I had for the Hagman and Hagman program on December the 29th. You can read that. It's 15 to 20 pages of information that show how this thing is coming about. It talks about why the struggle with the Ukraine is happening, who the individuals involved in this. So if you want to understand some of the parts of why this is going on, you can go read those notes. But suffice it to say, ladies and gentlemen, keep your eyes on Ukraine and Europe. Also keep your eyes on the developments of the Eurasia Union. Now, all of you know about the European Union, but there's another union that was just born. Vladimir Putin formed his own union called the Eurasia Union. And so far there are five members, which are Russia, Armenia, Belarus, and Kazakhstan. And then this coming May, in 4 months, Kyrgyzstan is going to join, which will make the fifth. Now, right now, most of the West and most of the academic scholars of the West are observing Putin's new union as a small little humorous footnote in world politics. They disregard it as anything having power or ability or traction or a future. They say it's nothing. It's meager. It's a small attempt. It's a burp in the history of time. It's nothing to feel threatened about. But you know, folks, they said the same thing about the BRICS alignment that is now a few years old. The BRICS alignment is growing strong. By the way, side note, the BRICS alignment is the baby or the invention of Goldman Sachs. So what does that tell you? Goldman Sachs has their paws in all of the evil, nefarious New World Order pursuits. So be watching the Ukraine, ladies and gentlemen. In the coming year, be watching that. Keep your eye on the Eurasia Union and also be watching the oil markets. Now, I want to spend a moment of time sharing a new prophetic glimpse that God has given me. When I have a prophetic vision from God, I'll hold on to it or I'll pray about it. And depending what it is, depending what it's talking about, I may present it very quickly or I might hold on to it for months because I have a spiritual shelf that's full of prophetic glimpses that I have not shared. Some of them I'm still trying to understand. Some of them I'm waiting for a second witness. By the way, that's another tool that we can use to find out if a dream is from God or not. And what I mean by that is, when a person has a prophetic dream, if they're not sure about it, if you've had a dream, ladies and gentlemen, and you're not sure if it's prophetic or not, one of the things you can do is to ask God to give you a second witness and to give you the dream again. And I'm saying that based on what we find in Genesis chapter 41, where Pharaoh had two dreams. One of them was about the corn. The thin heads ate the seven good heads, And then the Pharaoh also had a dream about seven cows, seven good cows that were strong and healthy, and then there were seven thin, ugly cows that came after them. Pharaoh dreamt it twice, which was a second witness. And this is also confirmed in the book of Job, chapter 33. By the way, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. And in Job 33, verse 14, it says, "For God speaks once, yea, twice, yet man perceives it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon man and slumberings upon the bed." So Job 33, 14 and 15 says it again, that God speaks twice to man. And most people don't even know God's talking to them in dreams. And you know, folks, I'm pretty sure that when we get to heaven, some of you are going to get to heaven and you're going to ask God and ask him, "Hey, God, did you ever send me any dreams where you were trying to speak to me and I didn't get it?" And I'm pretty sure that a number of you are going to be surprised. I really do, folks, because all through time, this has been one of the ways that God speaks to his servants. And you know, it's a shame that Satan has deceived the church to make them believe that God cannot speak to us in this manner when he has done it all through time. It's pretty sad, folks. God did not just start using dreams during the Gospels and then part of the book of Acts. God has done it all through time. He spoke to Solomon in dreams and David in dreams and Abraham. Deep sleep came upon Abraham and he spoke to him. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been one of the primary ways. It's God communication with man 101 through dreams. So it's a shame that in these last days when Satan comes in and tries to deceive, and Satan says, God doesn't do that. So as a result, some of the guidance that the people could receive from God, they don't receive it. It's a shame. But I digress. I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, that when God has given me prophetic dreams, I ask him often for a second witness. So I'll put it on the shelf and just wait. And sometimes I have waited several years for the witness to come. But I do that to make sure that it's him. I know there are some people out there that think, well, Nathan just relies on his dreams and that's all he lives by. That's not true, folks. I don't always get dreams. I can go for months and months in a dry spell where nothing happens. But in the meantime, I'm dreaming every night. They're just not prophetic dreams. And I have learned over the course of several years to differentiate. I can tell which ones are from God and which ones are pizza, because the majority of the time they are pizza. So getting back to what I was saying about prophetic glimpses of things that are coming, there have been a few that I have not shared. And over the past few weeks, it's really been interesting that I have been seeking God and I've been asking him to help me understand what's going on with Russia and the United States. I have been asking him to show me, and praise God, folks, he has, because I'm up in this wall and I need to relay the information to you. Now, over the course of 2 years, I've had four prophetic glimpses that pertain to Russia that I have not shared with you. Four of them. And these four prophetic glimpses have to do with bears. I'm not going to go into the extreme details of this because it's going to take a while, and I'm going to write up an article that will go into detail about it. Perhaps in a future program I'll go into detail, but the bottom line is I saw the Russian bear in various forms doing various things. I saw the Russian bear here in the United States. I saw the Russian bear engaging American citizens, and I saw myself having to deal with the Russian bear. And to top it all off, several days ago, I believe it was the 2nd of January, I had another. In this particular dream, the Russian bear was in my town, in my city, here in Idaho. It was a bear in my dream, but it was not a normal bear. It was a giant bear, probably 5 feet at the shoulder, 12 feet long. It was black, but black bears in Idaho are not 12 feet long. This thing was huge. And it was walking around my town, and I saw it, and I fought it. I engaged it, and I was able to stab it with a weapon. I didn't have a gun. I had a weapon. I stabbed it in the side, and I killed it. And then I went to find some other people to show the bear to. So I left it laying in the middle of someone's yard in my town. And I was gone for a few minutes. And then when I came back, it was gone. It got up and left. And someone told me that it woke up and left. So when I thought it was dead, it wasn't dead. So I started looking for it around our small town. And then I found it in someone's yard. But this time it had a bullet hole in its shoulder. and blood was coming out. So I knocked on the door of this house, and I asked them what happened to the bear. And they said, well, the sergeant of the police department came and shot it with his high-caliber rifle. So as I was talking to the homeowner, and we were looking at the bear, I saw its head start to move. And then it started to move its paws, and before I knew it, it shook the slumber off of its head, pushed itself up with its front legs, and then stood up, tried to gather its strength, looked at us, so then we started running away to seek cover, because now this bear has been wounded twice. He's not going to be in a happy mood. But I thought it was dead, and then it came back to life. So that was the second time, and then it wandered off. It wandered away from us. Now, that was one of three dreams that I've had about a bear. I woke up, and I sought God, and I said, God, why in the world was there a giant bear in my dream? I thought I was dead twice, and it came back to life. What is going on? I didn't know what it meant, but after I got up, I spoke to my family, and I told them that I had this dream, and then my 21-year-old son told me, you dreamt about a bear last night? This is just a few days ago, folks. And I said, yes. And he said, so did I. And I said, you did? Tell me. So then he proceeded to tell me that he was working on a fence at somebody's house, and the fence was very near the house that he was working on, maybe 5 to 10 feet away. And there were steps by the edge of the house that went down into a basement area. And when he was working on a fence, he glanced down into the steps, and there was a bear sleeping down at the bottom of the steps. And he told me the bear was very big. It was a huge bear. And the bear woke up, and it came up the steps, and then it started trying to knock their fence down, and then it attacked them. And he told me that he was working with two of his friends who are his age, early 20s. So they jumped on the bear. They had hand tools, hammers, etc. None of them had a gun. So they tried to fight this bear with their hand tools. And my son told me he jumped on the back of the bear and started to choke it. The bear fell down on the ground on its side, and my son kept choking it as tight as he could. And he said, I choked it out, and I thought I killed it. So then I got up. I thought it was dead. I choked it. And then when we were watching it, when it was supposed to be dead, it came back to life and got up and sat up and looked at them. Now, more things happen. The dream continues. But in summary, he also fought a bear and thought he killed it, and it came back to life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the odds of both of us having a bear dream on the same night, very large bear in our town, we both killed it, and it comes back to life twice, that is not a coincidence, especially with the other things that took place in his dream. So, and I'm going to talk about this in the future, but I had been asking God to open my eyes and let me see what's coming. And based on what happened right here, my son's 21 years old, and his two friends that were helping him work on the fence are in their early 20s. I believe this may mean one of two things. It means he will have to engage them with his friends in the U.S. military, or he will have to engage them in a Red Dawn situation when they invade. So it's one of those two things. But nevertheless, I believe this means that he will have to engage them when they come. Now, being that I also engage the bear in my city, and the sergeant of our police department engaged them, it appears that we have an invasion coming eventually, where there's going to be an occupation of Russians here. Now, on paper, some people would say Russia would never try it because there's 100 million guns in the United States of America. They wouldn't try it. Japan knew better in World War II, so Russia wouldn't do it, neither would China. But you know what, folks? When the invasion does come, based on what I have seen in other prophetic glimpses, the invasion's not going to be a conventional, traditional invasion where they just show up. When it happens, when we look back at many of the prophetic glimpses that other servants who have come before us have seen, David Wilkerson saw it, Dimitri Dudeman saw it, and Dimitri's vision included that it would be when America was having a revolution, during an uprising. It would be having civil war. There would be chaos when the Russians came. Now, the catalyst to start the chaos could be a number of things. It could be the collapse of the dollar. It could be caused by a food crisis. It could be caused by an EMP where the grid goes down and mass chaos erupts, anarchy erupts, and for a season, Americans will do the job of the Russians. In other words, if an EMP occurred over the United States, Russia could sit at the sidelines and just watch Americans kill each other for a season. And we have to look no further than what we witnessed in Ferguson, Missouri, just a few months ago. When Americans do not have their way, when Americans don't have their pleasantries and their comforts, when Americans do not have their entitlements or things that they depend on, how will they act? When Americans no longer have their necessities like electricity, diapers, and milk for children, how will they behave? How will they behave in the inner city when we see what they did in Ferguson? How will they behave in the inner city and in crowded metropolitan areas when we see how they have been acting with their protests? How will they behave in regular cities and in suburbs when we see how they have behaved on Black Friday, fighting over underwear and socks and hats and TVs? When we see how selfish Americans are because they have been programmed to believe that they're animals and God is dead and God doesn't exist and there's no reason to fear God, how will those Americans behave when the lights are off, when they have no food, when their just-in-time shopping renders their pantries empty? I've seen the glimpses, folks. All Russia would have to do, and China, is sit back and watch most Americans destroy each other. Just like God allowed the enemies of Israel to destroy each other with confusion. Ladies and gentlemen, these days are coming. Now, I am not saying that it's going to happen in the coming year of 2015, but I am saying this. It's going to happen in the future. We're approaching what I'm describing right now. Now, as I stated earlier, I've had 3 dreams about the Russian bear, and they go back as far as 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I had a dream that I was working on a fence, building a fence, and I looked on the other side of the fence, and there was a very large bear on the other side. And an elderly gentleman came on my side of the fence and peeked over the top and said, "Wow, a bear." And I told him to get back. He didn't want to get back. He wanted to feed the bear. So the bear came to the fence, reared up on his hind legs, and grabbed the elderly gentleman in his front paws and bit into his head in front of me because he got too close to it and wanted to feed it. Now, that was 2 years ago. I never understood it until my son also had a dream where he was building a fence. And in his dream, the bear tried to destroy the fence. So, by the way, the fence is the border. Our border is not a very good fence to keep the bear out. And it won't keep the bear out. When the Russian invasion does come, Russia is going to use propaganda, and also China, because I've seen this happen too. Russia and China are both going to use propaganda to appear as the saviors and the rescuers. So they may even show up in blue helmets. Perhaps that's the way they're going to get here, to rescue us because we have the big emergency. And the elderly community of America is going to welcome them with open arms. I've seen it, folks. But it's going to be to their detriment and demise because I saw what the bear did to the elderly person. Now, 2 nights ago, on January the 8th, I had another prophetic dream that did not have to do with bears. It was more literal, it was worse. And it was so terrifying and disturbing that it shook me in my bed. I woke up trembling. But in this prophetic dream, ladies and gentlemen, I was having a barbecue during the summer with my family. And from the horizon over the other side of the mountain that was next to our house, the sky turned white as the sun and flashed. A few seconds after the flash, there was a very loud explosion, the loudest explosion I've ever heard in my life. It was so loud. Soon after that, a pillar of orange smoke came over the top of the mountain, and it maintained its shape, and it looked like a column of smoke. It was very long, hundreds of feet long, very wide, but it was like a column or pillar of smoke. It was orange smoke, moving very quickly. I'd never seen anything like it. It was like a very tall column. Then there was another flash, and I told my family members, I told my daughter, cover your ears. This is going to be loud. And sure enough, it was very loud. And then within a few seconds, I saw debris flying through the sky over the top of the mountain. And one of the items of debris was very high in the sky. And I saw it. And it started falling toward us. And it grew larger and larger. And it looked like it was going to land right where we were. And we backed up and we let it land right in our yard. And it was the oddest thing I'd ever seen. It was about 10 feet tall, about 2 feet wide, column of ice, solid ice. It was tall, but then toward the top portion of it, it was shaped like a mushroom. So it looked like a toadstool that came out of the sky, and it was made out of ice. But it wasn't a toadstool, it was a mushroom. But I didn't understand why a mushroom frozen would land out of the sky. And it started to melt very quickly. And after all of it melted, there was a piece of metal encased inside of it. And the metal appeared to be a post that you would see to hold up a stop sign or a street sign. It was like that. The top part was bent inward, so the opening was closed. So it was kind of like a sharp point, but it was bent up and damaged. It looked like it was some of the debris from the other side of the mountain that when it was thrown into the air from the explosion on the other side of the mountain, the city where it originated from, it looked like debris had been sucked up into the sky, and while it was in the sky, in the clouds, it got coated with ice, and it landed where we were. So it was a giant frozen ice cube, so to speak. I did not understand it. Why in the world would ice come out of that explosion? Well, earlier today, I decided to research, and I asked God, I said, God, what in the world does this mean? I didn't know what it meant, folks, so I prayed, and then I decided to look in the scriptures. In the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 30, there's an interesting passage. It says, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. So verse 30 says, I will show wonders in the sky, in the heavens, pillars of smoke. That's what I saw. I saw a pillar of smoke. It was like a column of smoke, very tall, hundreds of feet, probably longer, moving along the sky. It didn't dissipate. It didn't tilt. It stayed upright. It was the oddest thing I had ever seen, but it was orange smoke. And then the other thing that was interesting was the frozen mushroom ice. I didn't understand what that was. What was the ice about? So I continued looking in the scriptures, and in the book of Revelation, chapter 8, verse 7, or actually let's back up to verse 6. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Verse 8, 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. Now, I saw a huge chunk of ice come out of the sky. And inside of it was encased a big piece of metal. And I wondered to myself, how could that happen? Because if an explosion took place on the other side of the mountain, which in the dream, I don't know where that was. I don't even know where I was. I was in the country. I was in the rural portion on the other side of the mountains, and the city was on the opposite side of the mountain, far away. But I was wondering to myself, if this was a nuclear explosion, because that's what it appears to have been, a nuke, how could a nuke cause a piece of metal to go into the sky and then become encased in ice and fall back to the ground? Didn't make any sense. But then when we move forward in the book of Revelation, it says in Revelation 16, and there fell upon men great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. Now, that's going to happen twice in Revelation. And in verse 16, it said that the hail weighed about the weight of a talent. Now, a talent in biblical times, depending on where you were from, because there was a Greek talent and a Roman talent and a Arabian talent and a Jewish talent, they were all different. Some of the Roman and Greek talents weighed approximately 60 to 70 pounds, but in the Jewish talent weighed approximately, and you can look this up yourself, folks, if you want to research it, but the Jewish talent weighed anywhere from 75 pounds to 125 pounds. That's what I was able to find when I was researching. I looked this up earlier today. So a hailstone weighing 75 to 125 pounds. Now think about that, folks. That is a big hailstone. What would cause that to happen during the tribulation period? And why did I see it in my dream? Well, I began to research, and I was wondering if that's actually one of the things that happens when a nuclear bomb goes off. Those of you that are taking notes, you can look this up yourself. There have been testimonies of some of the survivors of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The United States dropped the atomic bomb over Japan in World War II. And according to the testimonies of several people who survived, there was a phenomenon that was very weird that took place after the bomb was dropped. And according to testimony, the two different people that I read, hail was part of the weather that was created when we dropped the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. In fact, one of the individuals said that after the bomb exploded, They said that it hailed for 2 straight hours. It kept hailing. Now, I find that very interesting because during a normal thunderstorm, when the hail portion of the storm will pass over your city, it happens pretty fast. The storm will build up, the clouds get very dark and ominous, and then the hail will come down, but it happens quickly. Those of you that live in the heartland and the Midwest, where you get a lot of hailstorms, you have seen some of the very violent storms that occur in Tornado Alley. And those hailstorms can last 5, 10, 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, but they don't last an hour, and they surely don't last 2 hours. But that's what happened in Japan after we dropped the bomb. Another individual said that Hiroshima was on fire, and they were fortunate because they were on the edge of the city, away from ground zero, and they ran to a river, and they jumped in the river to escape the heat. It was so hot, and that was the only way they could get away from the heat. This individual said she kept going underwater and wetting her face so that the heat wouldn't hurt it. But she said while she was in the water, as her city burned, hailstones kept hitting her in the face. So that was the second testimony saying that hail is a byproduct of an atomic explosion. And I found that interesting, and I wondered why that would be. And according to what I was able to find, when a nuke goes off, there's a suction that takes place in the stem of the mushroom cloud because of the pressure change. It sucks up everything, just like a tornado, up the stem of the mushroom cloud. And you can actually see that happen. It sucks everything up, and then the debris will go up if it's not consumed. And, of course, anything that's flammable is going to be consumed. But for some of the items that were able to make it, pieces of metal, it gets sucked up and it goes up into the higher parts of the mushroom cloud where it begins to cool. And because of the force of the blast, the updraft sucks a lot of debris into the higher areas of the sky, into the atmosphere. And that debris can bounce around long enough for ice crystals to attach to it, and they get bigger and bigger. And apparently this is what's going to happen during the tribulation period to fulfill Revelation chapter 8 verse 7 and Revelation chapter 16. Hail is a byproduct of nuclear explosions. So back to my dream. I saw this huge chunk of ice come down, and it landed in my yard, in my backyard, right after I saw the column and the pillar of smoke, and after the flash, and after the loud explosion. So when I awakened, I asked God, I said, God, what in the world was that? And when does this happen? And at this point, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know. But my daughter was in the dream, and she was not a grown-up. She was still a child in my prophetic dream. So am I saying that where I live on the other side of the mountain, a nuke's going to go off? I'm just telling you what I dreamt, folks. Because many times there are representational things that take place in a prophetic dream. There are signs and parables and puzzles and mysteries of a prophetic glimpse. So I'm still trying to figure this thing out. But at this moment in time, it is very obvious that I saw a nuclear explosion take place. So I'm very concerned that at some point, we're going to see this happen in America. I've seen them enough times, folks, in prophetic glimpses. And I'm not the only one. There have been others. David Wilkerson saw it, Dimitri Dudeman, as well as many, many other watchmen and individuals, young, old, middle-aged, who have seen horrible, horrible events that are similar to what I just described, coming to America. Why would God allow this to happen? It's because of what time it is, folks. Because America didn't bow down to her Creator and give the allegiance that He deserves. Now, I'm going to be talking about this as well as some of the other glimpses. I didn't mention all of them because I want to really, really spend some time on it and relay the information as best I can. Also, I want to pray more about these glimpses, but they have to do with an invasion, ladies and gentlemen. I saw an invasion. I saw the troops. I saw the people rallying together. I saw American citizens getting ready to face the invasion in another prophetic dream. I won't go into that one, but I will share in a future program and in another alert and write-up. But I'm talking about all of this information because we, as the children of God, must strengthen ourselves. We must strengthen ourselves to face the darkness that's coming. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the worst enemies that we will have to face is not just the Russians or the Chinese invasion or the police state or tyranny. The worst enemy that we will have to face is the darkness that's coming over the land. Because the darkness has no face. And the darkness can work in such a way that it deceives the very elect. It can deceive so many people. It can lead people astray. It can cause people to lose their faith. It can cause the hearts of man to become cold and corrupt. And Jesus told us this. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold, and the darkness is going to come. But it is not a power that cannot be defeated. Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan and the darkness. He is the Lord of hosts, but first we must learn to identify it and know that it's there. But dealing with the darkness cannot be casual, and it's not going to be accomplished by an apathetic attitude. It's only going to be defeated when we decide to face it, and when we shine the light on it, and when we put oil in our lamps. You need to have oil in your lamp, my friend. This is why Jesus told us in the parable of the 10 virgins. They needed to have oil because it was going to be dark in the end times. And without oil in our lamps, deception will come. Well, Nathan, what's the oil? Where does that come from? The oil is the presence of God. The oil is the practice of God. The oil is the worship of God. The oil is us abiding in the secret place, the dwelling place. Psalms 91, he that dwells in the secret place. When we bask in the presence of God, when we learn to abide in the presence of God and to seek that location, our lamps become full. Now, amongst those who are listening to my words right now, there's a lot of spiritual conditions represented, and I know that. But I want to finish this message with a challenge. I want to challenge you, ladies and gentlemen. We're in a new year. Yeah, we're in a few days already, but it's still a new year. And in this new year of 2015, I want to challenge you to find newness in your relationship with God. In other words, a restoration of your relationship with God. Some of you need to find healing in your relationship with God. Some of you need to renew your commitment to God. Some of you need to restore fellowship with God. I'm talking about repentance, folks. Repentance in the year 2015, an examination of our spirits, an examination of where we are. And you know, folks, if we were honest with ourselves, I'm pretty sure that 99% of everyone listening could do some things to their spirit to help strengthen their relationship, to improve where you are with God. Because there's always more ground that we can gain. We can always be further along than we are. We can always pray a little bit more. We can always worship a little bit more. We can always fast a little bit more. And for the minority that may be listening that may say, Nathan, I'm in victory, brother. I just came out of a 40-day fast. I'm full of the Holy Ghost and power. Praise God. I'm full of God's glory. Great, my friend. Then pray for the rest of the brethren. Pray for those around you. Stand in the gap for those around you and continue in your victory. For the rest of you that are listening, I want to challenge with this. Let the year 2015 be the year that you forsake the old. Let the year 2015 be the year that you clean the slate and start afresh, where all things become new. My friends, let the year 2015 be the year where you decide to change and go forward. Multitudes, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. God wants us to decide for Him. And as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Decide to serve Him, ladies and gentlemen. Decide to commit to the challenge, to the project, to the goal. Decide to commit to the prize that waits before you. Because God has a calling on every one of your lives. God has a plan for every one of your lives. God has a plan for you, my friend. Even though you may feel defeated now and discouraged and used up and spit out, God has a plan, but it starts with a decision. It starts with a decision to say, yes, Lord. It starts with a decision to raise your hand and say, God, pull me out of this mire. It starts with a decision to get on your knees and lift both hands and say, God, only through you am I going to rise up. Only with your power can I be restored. In 2015, decide to quit being shackled by the stronghold. Decide to quit being shackled by the addiction of self-destruction. That's what repentance is, my friends. It's not just saying it. Repentance isn't just talk. Repentance isn't just lip service. Repentance is turning about, going the other way, forsaking the things that once held you down, dropping the chains and the things that so easily beset you and the weights that make you stumble. Repentance is deciding to change and doing it. And after you decide, the change requires turning away from the darkness and turning towards the light of God, towards the cross. How do I do it, Nathan? It's hard. Well, things are hard as long as you hold on to them. This year in 2015, decide to do this, my friend. Decide to change, which may require getting rid of something, getting rid of that thing or those things. It may require obtaining some things, because change means doing something different. Change means doing what you're supposed to do. There's a lot of challenges out there in this new year. But ladies and gentlemen, with God, you can do it. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." How many of you would love to experience rest away from the anxiety, away from the pressures, away from the fears? A rest where your mind is no longer tangled in the web of confusion. A rest where you could have a peaceful sleep, resting in the arms of God, and find refreshing and strength. Nathan, I want to do that, but I don't know how. Yes, you do, folks. It's simple. You come to Him. You pour out your heart to Him. You lay it at His feet without excuses, without conditions, without terms. It's called surrender, folks. When you come to God humbly and you fall down at the feet of the Master, the Bible says He will lift you up. And He does. He takes you by the hand and He says, "Rise up. You have been forgiven. Go now and sin no more. Go now and be my disciple. Go now and follow your calling. Go now and win your family." It's about change, folks. And change may require humbleness, openness. It may require making contact with someone, communication with someone, reaching out, a phone call. It may require a letter or even a visit. Folks, saying that you're a child of God cannot be accomplished with just words, because change means we have to act. It means we have to have an encounter. It means we have to face the storm, the obstacle, and the challenge. It's a new year of 2015. Self-examination means the light of truth. It means that we can't deny. We have to throw denial away and face the unpleasant but hard truth that it's time to deal with this. It's time to stop the madness. Change means admitting that it's time, my friends. It is time. It's time to say no more. It's time to throw out the temptation. It's time to throw out that bottle. It's time to throw out that pack of something. That bottle of something. My friend, you know you've been meaning to do it. You've been thinking about it. You've been talking about it. It's time. Think of the money you'll save. Think of the health benefits that you'll obtain. It's a new year, my friends, 2015. And in this new year, don't just say the words, "Happy New Year," and do nothing. My friends, meet the challenge and find it. Find joy. Find satisfaction with God. Find achievement with God in your relationship with Him. Find victory with Him. Find salvation and strength in God. Jesus is the way, folks. He can take the burden. He can take the desire, the temptation, the addiction, and the habit. So give it to Him. But don't do it casually. Give it to Him. And tell Him, "God, I don't want it anymore. I don't want it. Take it away." You know, folks, how many individuals, how many grown-ups, how many of our peers, how many of your friends, your colleagues, say to themselves year after year, "Yeah, this year I'm going to do it. I'm going to start that project. I'm going to work on that thing inside me," but never do, because there's always an excuse. Ladies and gentlemen, let's put the excuses aside. Let's try to do it. Let's make it count. This year's the year, folks. Every one of us are getting older. The clock is ticking. And for those that don't try, those that give up, time's going to run out. But what if you have loved ones that are dependent on you? By the way, are they? Do you have loved ones? You have friends? What if your salvation was hanging in the balance and loved ones needed you to work it out so that they could find strength? What if they're dependent on you? What if they're following in your example? What if, folks? What if it could make a difference for someone else? For a ministry, for another servant of God, for another person, for that child? This year, in early 2015, don't just say Happy New Year, my friends. Don't just say Happy New Year this time. How about saying this New Year's, I'm going to do it. This year, I'm going to find it. This year, I'm going to seek it and get a hold of it. How about saying this year, I'm going to get victory with God's help? Because if you're able to do that, my friend, with faith, then in a few weeks, in a few months, I don't know, it could happen quickly. It could happen in one day, a few days. You could be saying, this year, I was delivered from it. This year, I got rid of it. This year, I finally destroyed it. This year, I got away from it. Whatever it is, folks, this year, make it happen. Perhaps this is the year for you to get that spiritual gift. Perhaps this year is the year you want to learn how to worship or learn how to pray. Whatever it is, my friend, make this year matter. What a mighty God we serve, ladies and gentlemen. Because in the midst of the challenge that we have, in the midst of the darkness that is coming over this land, God is raising up His people who have the light and the oil in their lamps. God is raising up servants to be used by Him to minister to those that are hurting. God is raising up warriors to fight the powers of darkness. God is raising up servants to make a difference in His kingdom. My prayer is that you would be a part of that army of God, of those who are victorious, of those who were used by God. So this year, my friend, let's make it happen. Let's see the miracle take place in your life. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for this message. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit that is even right now touching the lives of people. Let Your Holy Spirit touch the people listening right now. Let Your Holy Spirit break through the hardness of hearts. For those that are struggling, break through the doubt. Break through the discouragement. And let Your Holy Spirit minister by Your power to set the captives free. Comfort those who are mourning, God. For those that are hurting, God, bring beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called Your trees of righteousness. God, show those who are not acquainted with prayer, with worship, for those that are not acquainted with the oil of joy, touch them. Teach them to pray. Teach them to seek. Meet them where they are as they cry out to You in this new year. Let Your blood cover our sins. Cleanse us of the sins, God. Forgive us of the unrighteous acts. Forgive us. And let Your loving kindness flow. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Folks, remember us in your prayers and in your support. Our website is watchmanscry.com. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Well, my friends, stay safe, stay vigilant, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
He is our peace.